I had some minutes or so early, but we're going to go ahead and get back started. Next presentation is by O.P. Pereira.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm going to talk about what we did during the last 8 or so months in developing a detection system for Helicobacter amigera to separate Helicobacter zea from amigera in pheromone traps. Anybody who has tried to collect these two species in a, using pheromone traps, you know that either one of the species could be collected using any of the pheromones. So if you use amigera pheromone lures, a majority of the bugs you get in the this area or US is Helicobacter zea, because that's the species present in here. And for example, USDA aphids collected about 21,000 moths in pheromone traps in Puerto Rico, and they found only 23 Helicobacter amigera out of that. So it's about 1 in 1,000. So they were using the amigera lure for that. As you can see, I need to acknowledge my co-authors. A lot of work into this, and a lot of people helped me getting the samples and all the bugs work out in the system. So Clint Allen, Devendra Jain, he's from India. He was very good in providing me with amigera collections. And Matthew Purcell in Australia, Nathan and Randy. So I had a pretty good support system for developing this one pretty quickly. So I'm preaching to the choir here, and you have a lot of information on these species. And as you know, the Helicobacter amigera was detected in Brazil in 2013. I think they had that bug in Brazil way before they detected, but that's when they described what's going on. And the both species are very similar, and control methods and the host species, they all are the same for both species. And recently Helicobacter amigera was detected in Florida, somewhere in Bradenton area, South Florida, Central Florida. And also, I'm not sure 100% about this, but I heard that there was one detection in Louisiana too. I haven't seen any official reports, but somebody told me that they got it. So this was a write-up in the Delta Farm Press, and Randy brought to me my attention last week. And so the red box highlights, you know, what's going on, because the identification is the major problem. And so this is the current distribution, and the circle, red circle. Okay, let's see. Okay, how do you get the mouse to work on this thing? Okay, anyway, the red circle is Puerto Rico, and so the in South America, all these colored countries are actually confirmed infestations of Helicobacter amigera. And this map came from a 2001 USDA aphids publication, that risk map. And as you can see, the incidence high going from blue to red, the high incidence of these bugs are expected. I think that is exactly what is happening. So the one of the major problems we had was how do we identify these two species or separate? And I have looked at thousands of transcripts of these two species, and out of the 33,000 or so transcripts, more than 30,000 were similar, more than 95%. And so express genes were almost out of question. And number two, we need to have a high copy number gene. And so we looked into ribosomal RNAs, which are repetitive DNA, genomic DNA, and these species have about 200, 300 copies in them. So each genome equivalent will have 200 to 300 copies, so we will have very sensitive detection system. So we looked into the ribosomal RNA internal transcribed spacer, which is transcribed but spliced off to produce ribosomal subunit RNA. And so we followed this standard protocol and identified differences and designed PCR primers to amplify multiples of them and tested extensively to see if we can get any differential amplification. So our goal was to produce species-specific fragments amplified from these species, and also different in sizes, so that they will have a different melting temperatures. The smaller fragments tend to melt or separate the two strands quicker. And so if you have a smaller fragment and larger fragment, you can look at the melting curves and tell the species apart. That's the premise we were working on. So the second breakthrough came from this by identifying a rapid method for getting DNA out of these bugs, because if we were to extract DNA using regular methods, we're going to spend a lot of time getting DNA out. It's going to be expensive, labor intense. So, for example, a regular DNA extraction method takes about 4 hours for incubation and all those things, and to get it from one bug. And so then it costs about $2.50 to extract DNA. So we used a method somebody published in 1993, which I have been using for other things. So we explored it, and it worked very well. So then we went to put all the primers together, different combinations, and tested them, about 15 different combinations, and found what is working, and then start working from there. So just ignore the ACGTs. I know you can't say anything, but I just want to show the where the primers were designed. So we had a common forward primer, and then HA-specific reverse primer. So that will amplify a about 134 base small fragment. And then the common primer and Helicopter ZEA-specific primer will amplify a 300 base fragment. And so then we have to have a positive control that would amplify any species, because if we didn't see any of these things, we don't know whether it is a failure of the amplification reaction or it is not either one of these species. So we included a two prime pairs, which were designed to highly conserved 18S ribosomal RNA. So we'll get a peak whether it is target species or non-target species, we'll get that peak in every single one of the amplifications. So in this, I have labeled the primers. These gels are not very clear, but you know, because they are very small fragments, very hard to resolve. So the Helicopa zea specific fragment is the bigger fragment, and Armigera specific fragment is the smaller fragment, and then the control amplicon is at the very bottom. It's about 83 bases. So this is a gel in there, and as you can see, lanes 4 and 6, we have two hybrids. Thanks to Marion Laster, who did a lot of Armigera zea hybridizations in 1983 to 1993, I believe, and he had preserved these bugs in one of his collections. So we discovered those things and started using them, and so we were able to get amplify those hybrids too. So the method we used is called high-resolution melt curve analysis. So what you do is you have a fluorescent dye that binds to DNA, and when you start denaturing DNA, the dye falls off, the fluorescence goes down. So then you take the derivative of that and you get a peak where DNA is completely melted, okay? So the as you can see, the red curve is for Helicopa armigera. The first peak is for that control fragment. Second peak is for the species-specific fragment. Helicopa zea is the blue one, and so we included Heliotis virescens, Heliotis subflexa, and as you can see, those two species has only the first control fragment. And the bottom one is actually, it's a software-specific thing. You can select one species as the reference, and you get a what you call difference plot, which is used for semi-automated identification of the species. So it's not 100% automated, it's semi-automated, but software will detect the species. So we did a lot of optimization. We used a proprietary reaction mix. You can buy, it's a 2X mix, and so you mix DNA, water, and primers to make the other 50%, and so you can use so the Kappa master mix is that 2X proprietary mix. And we also used a run-of-the-mill regular buffer, which contains only the buffer. We had to add everything else. As you can see, the amplification profiles are different. So both these came from two amplifications that we used using one leg of armigera, Helicopa armigera, mixed with 24 legs of Helicopa zea. So we ground them in a 625 microliter volume. So essentially it is 25 microliters per single leg. So we increased that. So we used 1 microliter out of that 625 to get this result. So the first peak in that purple one is the 18S, the control fragment, and the second peak is armigera peak, third peak is zea. So this is all, it's like a hybrid, but it's 1 to 24. So what we're trying to do is actually, when you get large number of bugs in the trap, if you try to analyze one at a time, it takes a lot of time. So we would pull a leg and put it into a 96 well plate and put the buffer, put two stainless steel ball bearings and put a cover and put it into a bead beater. So it kind of macerate everything, and then we spit it out and put it in an 80 degree incubator for 15 minutes and take 1 microliter and amplify. So in that way, in a 96 well plate, we can analyze 2,400 bugs samples at a time. And the whole process, amplification and melt curve, takes about 1.5 hours. So how quick you are pulling legs, you know, it may take about 2 hours to get the DNA from 2,400 bugs. And so we have, so the two methods, we can use regular buffers. So using Kappa Biosystems proprietary mix, it costs about 3 cents per sample. And with the NEB or regular buffers, you get about one third of that, so about penny a sample. And so that the bottom graph shows just the NEB graph scaled up just to show the three peaks. It's not pretty, but you know, the proprietary things, you know, they have optimized everything, so you know, anybody can just slap it together and run it. And so we looked at, when you're using the non-proprietary run-of-the-mill buffers, you had to put magnesium and all those things, so this, we optimized that. And then we also tried to get a different reaction volumes. Usually we run 20 microliter reaction volumes, but you know, you can cut the cost by half if you can bring it down to 10 microliter reactions. So that means you can use 5 microliters of the proprietary, the Kappa Biosystems reagents. So because of the lower volume, the instrument is not made for that, but you can see the blue lines are the 5 microliters. It varies a little bit compared to the 20 microliter, but there are instruments that you can run 5 microliter volume. So we shared all this information while developing with the USDA APHIS, because they are the ones that are working on this, and they wanted to have something more robust than what they were doing. Dissecting male genitalia, it takes a long time and labor intense. So after I send the reagents, they tried to optimize it into their instrument, and they had a complete different instrument, and they were using single insects. And as you can see, Helicopus there, you got one peak, and that's the control peak. And Armigera, you see the two peaks, and non-target, you get the control peak. So this data came from USDA APHIS mission lab and independently verified. So we got the publication, and so I need to acknowledge late Dr. Marion Laster for leaving his legend behind so I could get started on this. And Calvin Pierce, my lab tech, was actually instrumental in developing this, because he worked very hard in getting this thing going. Thank you.